That also helped. It was sometimes the phone was impossible. I just let it ring because I didn't have any koyach and she didn't have any koyach. I did before I ran off the sheets this morning. I wrote down at the bottom of the front sheet, Hodul Hashem Ki Tov Ki Li'olam Chasdo. The accident that we were in, aside from the fact that I was completely innocent, we were in a parked car. There were four of us in a parked car, and a car went out of control and came slamming into us, sending us pregnant. And thank God for a number of things. Number one, and this is extremely important, I was dropping off two people, machatonim of mine, the Goldreichs. We had gone to someplace out near Kiryat Gat because our oldest Einikel got his red or mauve kumta from Givati, and we came back and I parked and I have this Michigan. I said, wait, don't undo your seat belts until I'm at a complete halt. And we stopped and I told them, okay, now. And I remember seeing my mechit and machatenis, they're going for their seat belts. Before they could open it, we got such a knack. I shudder to think what would have been if we would not have had our seatbelts on. I'm telling you, you must wear seatbelts. I most probably would not be saying a shiur here today if I didn't have my seatbelt on. The second miracle that took place over here, we were shoved, pushed all the way into the opposite lane. 5 seconds later, a big bus came. What happens if the bus would have been there and we would have been sent flying into oncoming traffic? The third miracle, of course, is that HaChovesh Hatzolah of Har Nof was there within a minute and a half with three ambulances. They got us to hospital. My wife was most seriously injured of all of us. The rest of us were just all banged up and beat up. So we have bruises and pains, but her leg came out and had to be replaced surgically. They operated on her about an hour and a half after we got to the hospital. And Baruch Hashem, we're alive, and therefore, Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, we thank the Rebbe. I'll tell you, when I say Modim in Shmona Esrei, three times a day, Al Nisecha Va'al Niflaotecha Shebechol Yom U'imanu. The miracles and the wonders that you do with us each and every day. Sometimes you find out God's miracles, as in what happened to us. But then there are a lot of other miracles that happened that we don't even know. We don't know, but I'll tell you. I've been going out, I came in this morning by cab. Gosh, I slow down. I'll pay another 10 shekel. Just slow down. Take it easy. Slow down over the bumps. Watch the oncoming traffic. Watch people that are, I'm telling you, Bislam Meshugana, but it's better to be a Meshugana and alive, you know. There's a great deal yet left to do. My recuperation and recovery is nearly over. I have to see a number of doctors about various aches and pains. My wife, it'll take at least till the end of the month. If she can't walk yet, she does get around the house now with a walker. It'll take most probably till the end of the month. She'll be checked out again in hospital, and we hope by then they will give her permission to put her foot down. Not with me, but she can put her foot down. In other words, and in Yitz Hashem, she should be able to continue to walk, but they say it'll take a number of months until they know the extent, if any, of internal damage. I think that I've given you the full story. Don't ask me who the driver of the other car was and what's happening to him. As I've told people, this is not the kind of this was not the kind of accident when you get out after the accident and you say, okay, who's your insurance agent? I want your license number. They just got us as quickly as possible into ambulances and got us off to hospital. That, of course, the rest will be taken care of. My insurance agent, I must say, not many people have their insurance agent come to the emergency ward as they're taking care of you. My son is a great insurance agent. thank God we can laugh about it now. It was an extremely difficult period of time that we went through. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we're on the way. And as again I say, we appreciate everybody's best wishes. My wife is not up to visitors yet. She's in pain and it's finished. I'm taking care of her. And for me to come out this morning, I had one of my daughters come over, and as we call it in the house, we need somebody to bail us it. So she's taking care. And by the way, my brother-in-law just walked in. He's also been one of the Bela sitters, one who comes to sit with the two of us the first few Shabbos.
He's been giving us reports.
He's been giving you reports. All right, so now you have the up-to-date report. And of course, we want to wish everybody a real Hanukkah. Somebody emailed me this morning, you're going to say Al Hanis in this Hanukkah with a special, special kavana. I understand that Rabbi Adler is not going to be here next week, so I've decided I can use a little more time to get back to myself. I will not say this year. You can have a day off next Tuesday, and I hope that after that we'll be back with Ganze Keiches. Hodul Hashem Kitov Kilolom Chazdav. Okay. B'Bayit Sheni, the Rambam. The Rambam says, B'Bayit Sheni, this is a famous, famous halach in the Rambam during the period of the Second Temple, Kishemalchu Yovan Gozru Gzeros Al Yisrael, when the kings of Greece decreed decrees against the Jewish people, ubitlu datam, and they in fact tried to destroy Jewish religion. Velohinichu otam la'asot v'torah b'mitzvot, they didn't let them study Torah and do mitzvahs. Upashtu yodam b'bemonam u'b'bnoteim, they stretched out their hands, they stole their money, stole their daughters. V'nichnasu l'heichal, they went into the holy temple, uparzubo pratzos, and they breached it, vitimu hataharos, and they defiled, spiritual defilement of all that was pure. Vitzar lehem liyischol ma'od mipneim, and it was extremely, extremely oppressive for the Jewish people, for them, ulechotzum lachatz gadol, and they placed extreme pressures on the Jewish people. Atcherichem aleim alekeu etenu, until the God of our fathers had mercy upon them, and saved them from their hands, and rescued the Jewish people. It was an extremely, extremely difficult period of time, and we Jews have been through extremely difficult periods. We're going to have to talk about the uniqueness of this period. The Rambam has, of course, described it. This was an assault not only on Jews, but this was an assault on Judaism. And we will see what a difference that's going to make. And there are going to be a number of aspects of the Yovan experience, the Greece experience, which singles it out and makes it different from all other suffering of the Jewish people. The Govru B'nei Chashmonoi, HaKohanim HaGadolim, the sons of Chashmonoi, the high priests, waxed stronger, the harogum, and they killed the enemy, the hoshiyu shol miyodam, and they saved Israel from their hands, the emidu melech min hakohanim, and they appointed a king from the priests. Now what's fascinating over here is, anybody who knows a little bit of history, it was at least 25 years after the Hanukkah events that a Chashmonoi became king. And the Rambam seems to, you know, put it all together as though it's one experience, but it wasn't so. Obviously, what the Rambam is saying is that since ultimately that's what happened, that was one of the defining aspects of this victory. Most probably what the Rambam means is that if we would not have fully taken the reins of government into our hands, there would not have been a complete salvation. The Rambam is saying that there was no way to make any accommodation with Greece, you know, arrive at some kind of an agreement with them. It was not the kind of thing where you call an international conference and we decide this will be Greek, this will be Jewish, this will be Jewish, this will be Greek. It didn't work. They understood that the only thing that would remove the yoke of Greece was the complete and total destruction of the Greek invader. The Chazra HaMalchus LeYisrael, and the Rambam, I always have this festive air about these words, Chazra HaMalchus LeYisrael, kingdom returned to Israel. Yet Ramatayim Shana moved for more than 200 years, Ad HaKhurban HaSheni, until the second, the destruction of the second temple. Now, what's fascinating about what the Rambam is saying is that we know that the latter end of the Hasmonean dynasty was not something to be very proud of. The Hasmonean dynasty ended in civil war between two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. I was going to use the word corrupt. Probably it was corrupt, but then you're going to start making comparisons. We're not making any comparisons. We're talking about the Hashmonaim. They were corrupt. That's what the end was. And despite that, the Rana says, no, there is great value to our being our own balabatim in this country. Even if the house of Hashmonaim deteriorated in a terrible way. The second halacha of the Rambam says, when Israel grew stronger over their enemies and destroyed them, and he says it again, you see, he uses this in the halacha before, he talked about harogum, they killed them, and now he says ibdum, destroyed them. No accommodation. There was no place for accommodation. Greece and Israel were two extremes, and never the two shall meet. It was Olympus and Yerushalayim cannot live together under one roof. When did it happen? It was on the 25th day, B'chaf Hei B'chodesh Kislev. It was the 25th day of the month of Kislev. V'nichnasu l'heichal. Jews entered the temple v'lo motzu shem en tohar b'migdash el apach echad. They found no pure oil except one jar. It had only enough to light for one day. And they lit the candles for 8 days until they were able to grind and press new olives to bring new oil. Okay. We're going to learn a number of midrashim that are going to, in a sense, begin even more to define for us what took place at the time of the Greek invasion of Eretz Israel. Just a brief view. Remember, we are talking about the second temple. The first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Jews went off into exile for a period of 7 years, Golus Bavel, the Babylonian exile, and then it was Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah who began the return in order to establish the second commonwealth, and they built the second Beit HaMikdash. The return took place after the Babylonian Empire came to a crashing end before the forces of Persia. Parasumadai are the ones who removed Bavel from the scene of the world. Nothing is left of Bavel. Parasumadai, and of all things, Koresh, king of Paras, is the one who made the great announcement, Mi Bachem, Mikol Amo, who is there amongst you from all of God's people that wants to go on Aliyah, Vashem Imo Vayal, God shall be with him and go up. He granted permission for Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael, you understand? This guy was the first Nefesh Benefesh. He sent Jews. He sent them an aliyah. He sent them an aliyah. Of course, there are things that happened afterwards. There was an indigenous population that had remained in Eretz Yisrael that were very had harbored great enmity for the Jewish people, the returnees. Fregnish, you know, history repeats itself. Boy, does it repeat itself. All we'd have to do is just learn a little bit from this history that repeats itself. Anyway, they began, Ezra and Nehemiah began the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. They began to put up the walls around Jerusalem. What was it, just a few days ago in the newspaper, they had finally found a section of the wall of the old city that had been built by Nehemiah. In Sefer Nehemiah, there's a beautiful, powerful description how one night, unbeknownst to anybody, Nehemiah takes a number of his people, and under the dark of night, they march all around Jerusalem and begin to lay out the plans for rebuilding the walls. And a wall of Nehemiah, can you imagine? A wall of Nehemiah is found. I mean, it simply tells me that the Psukim in Tanakh are absolutely true. And most probably it's a kilometer away from here. Nehemiah's wall. So what followed Bavel, there were Jews throughout the world that were now under the heel of the Persian Empire. It wasn't all good, because there was a fellow Ahasuerus and a Haman who promulgated a gezeira, a decree, laharag, lahashvid, laabed, to destroy all the Jewish people, and that was the Nes of Purim. The Nes of Purim was at the beginning of the second end of Golos Babel, beginning of Second Commonwealth. About 150 years into the period of the Second Commonwealth, Jews were still a vassal state of the Persian Empire, when out comes a young man from Macedon, Alexander the Great. He becomes the great conqueror. He brings the Persian Empire crashing down to an end. So whatever was Persia now becomes Greece. And therefore Jews now are under the heel of Greece. Until, of course, the Chashmonaim, the revolt of the Chashmonaim against the Greeks, and until Hanukkah, Chaf Hei Kislev, tonight in Yitz Hashem. Watch. Number two is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Al kein hikom aryeh miya'ar. Yirmiyahu says, therefore the lion of the forest struck them. Ze'ev aravot yishadadem, the wolf of the desert vanquishes them. Nomer shoked al orehem. Nomer shoked al orehem. A leopard who stalks their cities. Kola yotze mihena, whoever is going to go out, yitaref, will be torn apart. Kirabu pishayim, for their sins are abundant and their waywardness is intense. The Medrash says the following. The second line of the Medrash, number three. Al kein hikam aryeh miyar. There are three animals, there are three beasts that are mentioned in this pasuk: the lion, the wolf, and the leopard. The Medrash says, Al kein hikam aryeh miyar. They were struck by the lion in the forest, Zubavel. That refers to the Babylonian exile. Ze'ev aravot yishadadim, the wolf of the desert. Of the desert is that which robbed them and vanquished them. Zumadai. Madai, Persia, Medes. Nomer shoked al orehem, a leopard who stalks their cities. Zuyovem, that is Greece. Kol ha-yotzi mimenu, whoever goes out of their cities, yitaref, will be torn apart. Zu Edom. The next and final of the four exiles is the exile of Edom, which, as far as Chazal concerned, continues ad hayom azeh, and that is going to end only when v'olu moshiim b'har tzion lishpot et har esav v'haital Hashem hamelucha. The saviors are going to go up to the Temple Mount, and from there, judges, God is going to judge Esav, and the kingdom will be God's. Chazor aveis kiravu pishem otzmu mishvoisem chazei aveis varu acharei kinamar Daniel. All of these three animals appear. These three beasts have chayes ruas. These three appear in a dream that Daniel sees. And it says, I saw and behold, afterwards came the leopard. Zo Yovan. Yovan greases the leopard. Shaitan ma'medet b'gzeroteha v'omedet li'Yisrael. They stood up with their decrees against Israel and told Israel, Kitvu al keren hashor, write on the horn of the oxen, she'ein lochem chelek la'olam haba. You have no share in the world to come. We will see another medrash that will say, She'ein lon chelek, you have no God, Israel. You have no God, Israel. What's so unique, I'll get to the end, rather than, you know, I'll get to the end, and then we'll explain it all. There's something so unique about the exile of Greece. You know what's unique about it? It's the only exile that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. We would have thought that that's in a contradiction in terms. Exile means that you are sent off out of Eretz Yisrael, as the Babylonians did, took Jews off in chain to Babylon. During the period of Paros and Madai, Jews are all over the world. But here, Jews are back in Eretz Yisrael, and they have a Beis HaMikdash. They have a holy temple. This you call Golus? What kind of a Golus is this? What it means is, therefore, there has to be something very unique about Golus Yavon, the exile of Yavon, that it becomes an exile even while Jews are in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? How does that happen? What's operating over here? Furthermore, you have to understand, they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. No. Rome destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Babylon destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. No. You can have your Beis HaMikdash. Well, you can have your Beis HaMikdash. The fact is that you can continue your lives. You know, you can have your sort of your state. The only thing is, what Yavon's intent is to empty it of its Jewishness. Oh, forgive me, I'm going to read something that I picked up on the internet last night, because there's something that I don't understand. And I think it's very, very germane. You'll begin to understand Vos Tutzatop. Here in the Jerusalem Post yesterday, there was this article, Abbas repeats rejection of Jewish state demand. I don't know, Fashtenish Vos Tutzatop. Israel claims that they want to be recognized as a Jewish state, and they say, no, you can have Israel. You can't have a Jewish state. What do they want? What do they want? So I'll tell you what they have in mind. I didn't understand. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying that we don't understand. And here is a statement, a fuller statement, and you'll see how absolutely apt it is to the story of Yavon. And that a lot of what's happening around us is all a repeat of the pre-Chanuk experience. It's going to be uncanny and amazing. And here is a statement by, this came from a sermon, not on the Mount, on the Temple Mount. A sermon that was given on the Temple Mount on November 23rd. Israel has already laid many obstacles in the negotiations prior to the conference, so it can shake off any kind of commitment in the future. Israel wants to be recognized as a Jewish state. Unfortunately, this request did not receive the appropriate attention from the Arab League and the Islamic Conference Organization. If this request is granted, you have to see it from their point of view. It's awesome. This is a Muslim a Muslim imam speaking on the Temple Mount. If this request is granted and Israel is recognized as a Jewish state, then there will be no withdrawal to 1967 borders, no partition of Jerusalem, and no deportation of the Israeli settlers. They realize something that some of our people don't realize. If it's a Jewish state, then it's a Jewish state under Torah. If it's a Jewish state under Torah, then the land belongs to us. Watch. He continues, this is a serious danger to the Palestinian people, and it confirms Nebuch, the Balfour, he didn't say Nebuch. It confirms the Balfour statement from 1917. This consolidates with the Zionist ideology and with the Bible that represents Palestine as the promised land and the Jews as the chosen nation of God. Israel's request to be recognized as a Jewish state confirms that they are a racist regime and speeds the immigration of Jews from around the world to Israel. It's unbelievable. They understand. They understand better than many of our people understand. It's unbelievable. They understand. If it's a Jewish state, then a Jewish state all the way. The Greeks were ready to have Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but not a Jewish state. They wanted to empty Eretz Yisrael and Jews of their Yiddishkeit. That's what they wanted. This was a Kulturkampf, a struggle between a pagan ideology, which was completely in conflict with Torah. They wanted to remove Torah. You can stay here. They didn't make concentration camps. They didn't kill Jews. They had no such interest at all. You can go about your lives. We're just going to empty it of the light of Torah, of the Yiddish neshama. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. And we'll see the Midrashim describe Greece as a period of darkness. If you want to remove the light of Yiddishkeit, then you know what you are bringing? You are bringing darkness onto the land. There is a medrash that I don't have here, but it's a fascinating medrash. Or maybe I do have some. Turn over to the other side. Yeah. I didn't number some of them. Watch. On the left-hand side, there's a medrash. Lo shalavti, v'lo shakatati. This is a pasuk in Eov. Eov says, I didn't rest. Second side. Lo shalavti, I didn't have peace from Esav. V'lo shakatati me Lavan, and things hadn't quieted down from Lavan. V'lo nachti, and I didn't rest from Dina. V'yavo roges, and then came even further anger. Bo'alai rugzo shel Yosef. The anger and the terrible disruption of Yosef. There are four tzaches that Yaakov Avinu went through. Esav, Lavan, Dina, Yosef. Dina, the Medrash says, corresponds to the third of the four galiot. Lavan is Aram, that's Bavel. When he went to the house of Lavan, you know he was returning to the other side of the river, Mesopotamia. That's where Bavel is. Because of Esav, he runs there. Lo shakatati me Lavan. Lavan is Bavel. Dina. Dina, the Medrash says, is Yavan. Because where did the whole Tzorah of Dina take place? The only one that took place in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael. What did Shem really want? Our daughters will marry your daughters. Your daughters will marry our daughters. We're going to live together. It's going to be one happy family. Now, on the one hand, Greece decreed against Brit Mila, because Greece wanted, and this was their ultimate goal, to erase the differences between Jew and Greek. To erase the differences. They didn't want Brit Mila. They didn't want Shabbos that made Jews different. We've talked over the years about Rosh Chodesh, which I had explained on a number of occasions. Rosh Chodesh represents the eternity of a Jewish people, a Torah people. They wanted to erase the differences. There is no special people. There is no chosen people. If anything, the chosen people are Greece and Olympus. They wanted to erase that. Shechem and Hamor with Dina wanted to erase all differences. But you know what? They were ready to go one step further. If you're not going to stop circumcising, you know what? We will all circumcise so that we're all going to be the same and you're not going to be any different. So the Golus, the suffering of Dina, is a suffering that takes place in Eretz Yisrael. The essence of that suffering is to blur the differences between Jew and non-Jew. Our Klal Yisrael is going to be like all the nations of the world. That's what Greece wanted. That was the darkness. They wanted to suck out from the Jewish people whatever sense of difference there was and whatever light. They wanted to extinguish the light of Torah. What did the Rambam say? Bitlu dotam v'lo hinichu otam lasok b'Torah b'mitzvos. They didn't let them study Torah. That there should be an Israeli state? Yes. A Jewish state? Never. That was the struggle with Greece. Let's look at the Medrash on the right-hand side. You know what the Medrash is talking about? The first, second pasuk in Torah, V'ha'aretz haita tohu v'vohu, v'choshech al pnei tohom, v'ruach elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim. Reb Shimon ben Lakish potar krario begaluyot. That pasuk, that second pasuk in Torah, is a description of the exiles. V'haretz hoita tohu, ze golos bavel tohu. The emptiness, that's bavel. Sinema, Yirmiyahu says, when he takes a look at the destruction that bavel will bring, ra'iti et ha'aretz, I've seen the earth, and it's, behold, it's tohu, there's emptiness. Bohu is golos modai, as it says, vayavhilu lahaviet haman. In haste they brought Haman. The choshech, the golos yavon. Choshech, darkness, that's golos yavon. Shechechshicha einayim shel Yisrael b'gzerotem, that darkened the eyes of Israel with their decrees. Shaitau meret lahem, Greece said to the Jewish people, Kitvu al Kerem Ashur, write upon the on your oxen, on the shofar of your oxen, She'elechem Kelek Belekei Yisrael, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. The other medrash we learned that Einlem Chelek Lo Lavo, no, they want Jews to reject Judaism. That's what Yovan was all about. Al Pnei Tahom, the pasuk goes on to say, at the depths, ze golus mamleches harasha, Edom, the present golus in which we are in, last 2,000 years, this is referred to as mamlechet harasha, the evil kingdom, she'en lem cheke kemo tahom, the depths to which they will fall are so deep, there's no way to know. And of course, in 2,000 years of exile, we've seen the depths to which they can fall. Right, but I have to be. I can't end this year without the good news. There's good news also. There's good news also. And the good news begins at the top of the page. Tipol aleihem. We say it every day in davening. It's in Oz Yosher. Tipol aleihem eimata v'fachad. Number four. Bring down upon them fear and trembling. Begdol zracho, with your great arm. Yidmu, they shall become silent like a stone, like a rock. The second half of the pasuk, this is the important half. Ad yavor amcho Hashem, ad yavor amzu kanita, until your people will cross over. Until your people, O God, will cross over. Ad yavor, until they will cross over. Amzu kanita, this people that you have acquired. What is this Yavor? Each Yavor, it says, crossing over into, twice in the Pasuk, describes the two entries of Jews into Eretz Yisrael. In the days of Ezra, in the days of Yoshua, first conquest of the land, and the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the Gemara says the following, Tanya, Ad Yav, we learned, Ad Yav Aramcha Hashem Zu Biyo Rishona, until your people, God, comes over into the land. That's Biyo Rishona, the first time Jews entered the land, in the days of Yoshua. Ad Yav Aramzu Kanita, until this people whom you have acquired will cross over, Zu Biyo Shnia, that's the second time Jews came into Eretz Israel. Mikan Amru Chachamin, from here our rabbi said, the two, the entry into Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua and the entry in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah are both in the same pasuk, side by side. So the Gemara says that there is or there should be a similarity between them. And the similarity is, Re'uyim hoyu Yisrael lasot lehem nez bimei Ezra, kemo shenasu lehem nez bimei Yoshua ben Nun. Jews should have had miracles when they returned in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, as they had miracles when they entered in the days of Yeshua. What are you talking about? The River Jordan split. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. The sun and the moon stopped in their tracks. We're talking about great miracles. But how did they come back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? Number one, it had to be with the permission. As we said earlier, it was the permission of Koresh Melech Paras. And who came? 42,000 Jews came, the dregs of Jewish society in Bavel, and about 8,000 animals. I've always said that those animals are holy animals, that the Torah tells us the animals that came on Aliyah, you understand, in order to establish the Second Commonwealth. It should have been with great miracles, because it says in the same pasuk, Ad Yavaram Hashem, Ad Yavaram Zukanisa. It should all come as a result of fear and trembling falling upon the nations of the world. Sin caused that the second entry into Eretz Israel was not with the same strength and might and grandeur and pomp and majesty and wondrous events as the first. What was the chait? The Marsha says the chait was that most of the Jews didn't come. If Jews would have come en masse, oy, second Beit HaMikdash would have remained forever. We made a mistake. We made a mistake. Some people are making the same mistake today, but many, many Jews haven't made the same mistake. Many, many Jews have not made the same mistake. Here, Rav Hutna, Rav Yitzchok Hutna, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says the following. One might read this Gemara as saying that, well, that's it. Second entry into Eretz Yisrael just was not like the first. That's it. The comparison does not exist. Gora Machet. So he says, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. He says, you know what the Gemara really means? It was delayed. It was delayed. Now watch. In other words, he says that the comparison between the two, the equation, first entry, second entry, is in force. But it's not going to happen as they enter Eretz Israel. It's going to happen sometime later in that history. And why? Why? So he says something that I remember I learned it many years ago, and I had difficulty accepting it. That Zionist in me over there, I couldn't accept it. But I do now. I do now. He says the following. He seems like he's going off on a whole tangent that has nothing to do with anything. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We say Shema Yisrael, so one would assume that this pasuk, which is Kabbalat ol malchus shemayim, accepting upon ourselves the yoke of the heavenly God. Kabbalat ol malchus shemayim, that's the great Shema Yisrael. One could make the mistake of thinking that Shema Yisrael is the introduction. Hear, O Israel. Ah, now we're all going to accept upon ourselves the heavenly yoke. Hashem Elokeinu, we pronounce and announce to the whole world, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, God our God, God is one. Here again he says, mistake. That's not true. Shema Yisrael is an integral part of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. So he says, because there exists the possibility, and the Rambam says it, Lahalacha, Rambam brings it into Hilchos Teshuva, there is what is called a person who is Poresh Midarkei Tzibur. The Rambam says the following, somebody who separates himself in a sense, emotionally or otherwise, he separates himself from the community of Israel. Goes his own way. Does not act Jewish, think Jewish. Goes off on his own. The Rambam even says something very fascinating. Even if he never performs doesn't do an Avera. Guy doesn't do an Avera. He eats Shmita Lachomra, you understand? You know, Abu Mazen vegetables. You know. Okay? But he just, he just is not part of the Jewish people. That person, even if he didn't do an Avera, has simply stepped out of the Jewish people. You have a choice. You want to step out, you can step out. And here comes the part that I had great difficulty accepting, but I accept it now. And he says, you know what happens under those circumstances? A person who steps out of a relationship with the Jewish people loses his share in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael was given to Klal Yisrael. It's not a gift to the individual. Eretz Yisrael was given to the Jewish people. You stepped out of the Jewish people, you lose your part. And what happens if there's a Jew who lives in Israel and will notify the whole world if somebody closed in a sukkah in Yehuda v'Shomron and God forbid Jews are building in Eretz Yisrael, he has stepped out of Klal Yisrael. If he steps out of Klal Yisrael, you know what he's doing? He has lost his share. What happens if you have a lot of people who are not part of Klal Yisrael and they've lost their share? Then we lose shticker. Because he says, Shema Yisrael, those two words are not the introduction to Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. You know what Shema Yisrael is saying? I am a part of the Jewish people. I follow Darkei Tzibur. Klal Yisrael accepts upon themselves the yoke of God. I'm with them. The Shema Yisrael is a pledge of allegiance that I am an integral part of the Jewish people. And only that way can I accept upon myself, oh, Malchus Shamayim. So I tell you, I found it difficult to, that a Jew forfeits his chelik in Eretz Yisrael. That's what he says. That's what he says. If you separate yourself from the Jewish people, if you negate Judaism, if you are opposed to Yiddishkeit, you can be Jewish, but you've stepped out. You're out. And if you're out, you've lost your share. You've lost your share. Unfortunately, it's very painful for me to say it, but there are Jews like that in our midst right here. Unfortunately, there are. We can't be blind. On the other side, there's good news. What was the report last week? That the growing number of people in Eretz Yisrael who identify themselves as religious or traditional, moving upward by leaps and bounds. I think that's where the Yeshua is going to come. One of these days, our secular leaders who are stepping out are all of a sudden going to find out that they are an extreme minority within a community of Jewish people that are saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Somebody brought us a book to read. A book. People have been bringing, you know, we get everything. I have enough. I have enough pumpkin soup for half of China. Yeah, okay, and that's a lot of pumpkin soup. But they're good. Everyone is. Somebody brought us a book called Mikimi. Mikimi. Mikimi is a book that was written by a woman by the name Noah Yaron Dayan. She was one of the stars of the Tel Aviv, you know, the nightlife. She had a program on radio, TV. She was, don't ask. She became a balas tshuva. Not only stam a balas tshuva, a nachman meyoman balas tshuva. And she wrote a book called Mikimi. The book is absolutely powerful and amazing, and I've seen already that in the Chiloni world they are giving it rave reviews, and we're talking about a book that's kosher from beginning to end, but is so full of such a, or no, only halfway through, two-thirds of the way through, all of a sudden she's begun to be swept into this love of Yiddishkeit. God, it's unbelievable. The end is the story of her wedding and her Nebuch, her parents and the rest of the family. They come to a Breslov wedding. they didn't know what hit them. You know what they were? In Yiddish they'd say they felt like a yuvin in sikka. That's very much, very good for Hanukkah, a Greek in the tabernacles. You heard that Yiddish expression, a yuvin in sikka. The power. I'm a tough guy. But I can admit that I was choked up and I cried through the last third of the book. There's a great deal going on beneath the surface, and it's growing and it's growing. But at the same time, one cannot deny that there are Jews who simply are a source of great harm to the Jewish people. In the world of literature, in the world of art, in film, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So Rav Hudna says, they, Mikimi. Mikimi. Noah Yaron Dayan. Noah Yaron Dayan. All right. So therefore, he says, somebody who has stepped out of Klal Yisrael cannot say Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is not the introduction to Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, accepting the heavenly yoke. Shema Yisrael is an expression that I am part of the Jewish people. I pledge allegiance to the Jewish people, and through that I am able to, together with all of them, accept upon myself the heavenly yoke. Which brings him to the next step. And this next step here, not only, I always agreed with him, and I said it many years ago. I remember one day I was minding my business. You know, all sorts of things happen to me when I mind my own business in Har Nof. Somebody's driving by, and somebody rolls up the window and say, "Rabbi Gold, Rabbi Gold." It was that time of the year, you know, there's the Yom HaAtzmaut time of the year, and then, you know, all mitzvahs become insignificant and unimportant. The only mitzvah is whether you say Hallel with a bracha, or you say Tachnun and Kinnis with a bracha, you know, like, God, we have to go through that every year. Okay. Anyway, so this person rolls down the window and says, "Rabbi Gold, I was by the shir from Rabbi such and such, quite impressive rabbi." And he says, "What are you talking about?" When Ezra and Nehemiah came back, they didn't make a holiday. So what? Because a bunch of Tzionim came back to Eretz Yisrael, and us, you made a holiday? I said, oh no. You know what I said? And how they did. What are you talking about, Rabbi Kol? Ezra Nehemiah didn't make any air. I said, no. Let me read you something. There's a big, long speech in Sefer Nehemiah. Long speech. By the way, part of this long speech that appears in Nehemiah, we say in davening every day, Atu Hashem levadecho, Atu asisa hashmayim shmei hashmayim chol tzvom. This is a whole section that appears before Oz Yosha. It's 30, 40 psuk in the speech. And this is made, I believe, by Ezra at the establishment of the second Commonwealth. I mean, this is it. They're back in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, wow, the great miracles that God did. And then at the very end of it all, after all the great things God has done for us in history, finally, we made it back. Baruch Hashem, we're back. And then he says, Hinei anachnu hayom avadim, we are slaves today. V'horetz asher nosato lavruseinu, and the land that you gave to our fathers, lechol et pirya, to eat her fruit, v'tuvan her good, hinei anachnu avadim aleha. We're slaves here. Utvuasom arba, and all of the what grows in the fields, it goes to the kings who asher notato leinu, that you placed on us. We're a vassal state. We're building a Beis HaMikdash. We're building the walls around Jerusalem, but we are a vassal state of the Persian Empire, and we are slaves. Valdviotenu moshlim, they rule over our bodies. Ubbehemtenu, and our animals, they take kidetzonam as they wish. Ubetzora gedola anachnu, we're in terrible tzaras. I mean, can you imagine? This is it. It's the dedication of the... maybe stage one of the Beit HaMikdash, and Jews are back, coming back, trickling back to Eretz Yisrael. Ubitzora gedola anachnu. What was the tzora? The tzora is that they didn't have independence. You know how long it took till they got independence? It took 150 years until the Hanukkah story. And you know what they did as soon as they did get independence? No Greece, no Persia. They said Hallel not for one day, 8 days. Rav Hutnis says the equation, the first entry to Eretz Yisrael and the second entry to Eretz Yisrael, there should have been miracles when they came the second time as they were during the first, but it didn't happen because of the sin. So Rav Hutnis says, no, don't think that just it never happened and there is no equation. The equation is in Torah and the equation exists. The only thing that happened is what it was delayed. Now, he didn't say what I said, but I'm saying that what he's saying must mean that. When does, and he describes the equation as meaning that they entered Eretz Yisrael biyad ramah in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, and they had to reach the point of yad ramah, strong hand, might and power. And you know when it happened? He says it happened on Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, the equation is fulfilled. It was delayed. That's all it was. It was delayed. But ultimately, it came. And I say, this is what I had said on that street in Har Nof, that sure, Ezra and Nehemiah didn't make a yontif with Hallel. Because we're slaves. They rule us. No independence. You can only make Hallel, see Hallel, with a bracha when you have achieved independence. And that happened. That Yad Hamad that Rav Hutnis is talking about happened 150 years later. Most probably, that's why the Rambam says the Chozro HaMalchus, the Yisrael kingdom, returned to Israel for more than 200 years, even though it didn't happen on Hanukkah. It took another 25 years until they established the king, but the die was cast by the this rebellion against Greece, ultimately that was what was going to happen. It had to happen because they knew that there was no accommodation. There was no possible way of making some kind of a compromise that we will live side by side here in Eretz Yisrael, Greece, Greeks and Jews. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Just one more point. And with this I'm going to end. And if it takes us a few minutes over, I missed Rish Yurim. Yeshayahu down at the bottom. Ha'am ha'holchem b'choshech ro or gadol. The people that go in darkness saw great light. Yoshri be'eres tzalmavas. Those who dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, light has shone upon them. Light has shone upon them. I have a unique interpretation of this pasuk. And the interpretation of this pasuk is based on a Mesilat Yesharim. The Mesilat Yesharim says that there are two kinds of darkness. Darkness creates an error in vision in one of two ways. The two kinds of darkness. It's dark outside. It's night. There's no street light. So somebody's walking, you know, he may see a telephone pole and think it's a man, or he sees a man and he thinks it's a telephone pole. He can't see too clearly. It's dark. But he says there's a second kind of darkness, and that darkness is an intellectual one. If somebody in his intellectual definitions of good and evil are all messed up, and he sees what's good as evil and what's evil as good. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people. In other words, we have a lot of people. I'll tell you, some months ago I told Haaretz, stop sending me your paper. I can't take it. For some reason, they started sending it to me a week ago. And I read such anti-Semitism in there. It's unbelievable. We are guilty of everything. We Jews, we're guilty of everything. We're the SS. We are the conquerors. We are the worst of all. I read it every day. Because they see good as evil and evil as good. It's unbelievable. I read it. I'm getting ready to tell them again. Don't ever send it to me again. But there are Jews who push it, see things completely different than we do. And they have turned, because of the evil way in which they see things, they are living in an intellectual darkness. They live in an intellectual darkness by virtue of the fact that they think that we will be able to live side by side with enemies who want to destroy us. I don't understand. I go crazy, you know. Unfortunately, I had too much time in the last 3.5 weeks, you know. I couldn't concentrate that much on learning until the last week. A week and a half, it got better. But I read and I see, nevech, so the Ebrish, the Rapid, what's going on. There's darkness. The first one, the one who's walking in the dark and he will mistake a man for a pole or a pole for a man, you know what you do? You put the lights on. You put the lights on and he'll see. But what about the person whose whole mind is darkened? Or is that a process? Or is that going to take time until the light will finally shine? Until you'll be able to train him to know you're making a mistake. There is a machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. According to Beit Shammai, tonight you light 8 candles. Tomorrow night, 7, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. According to Beit Hillel, you start with 1 tonight, and that's what we do, until by the end of Hanukkah, there are 8 candles. I say there's really no machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai is talking about the person
who can't see what's going on because it's dark. You know what he needs? A burst of light. 8 candles. After he can start seeing, he can diminish it 8, 7, 6 till it's 1. Beit Hillel is talking about the one who's suffering from intellectual darkness. Oh, that's going to be difficult. You start with 1 candle. Okay. Noch a candle. You have to take them through a process. I'm saying that's the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And then some years ago, I came across this pasuk in Yeshayahu. Ha'om ha'holchim b'choshech, a people going in darkness, row or godol, they saw a great light. 8 candles, Beit Shammai, first night. Because they're in the dark, they can't see. They're not sure what's ahead of them. Burst of light. Yoshvei Be'eretz Salmaves, but people who are living intellectually in the valley of death, you understand, are so fazunken and fazumped, and their minds are in serious, serious trouble. Or, Noga Alehem, the light began to shine upon them, little by little by little. The first half of the pasuk is talking about the physical darkness. You can take care of that. Oh, but the second one is talking about an intellectual darkness that is far, far more difficult. First half of the pasuk is Beis Shammai. Second half of the pasuk is Beis Hillel. So ultimately, yes, there's real darkness. There's real darkness that exists by Klal Yisrael. We cannot and we dare not simply make believe that it doesn't exist. It does exist. And a lot of our tzachas, in Yetz Hashem, that's what we look forward to, that the neiros of Chanukah are going to put a little light, a light on the subject and light into our minds. Chanukah Sameach.